Welcome, everyone, and thanks for being with me this next hour. You're listening to Everyday Astrology with C.A. Brooks on Transcendental Tuesdays here on 1-2 Radio, where we're changing the way that we experience the world. And this is February 18th, 2025. And I don't think I have any announcements today other than please come over and join me in the chat room. You know that we have a live chat during our shows here on 1-2 Radio. And one of the easiest ways to get there, sometimes I forget to tell you this, but it's how I always do it. You go over to 1-2radio.com. And you'll see on the left side the word chat. Just click that and you'll automatically be redirected to our private group over on Facebook. Now, most of you probably are already members of that group, but if you're not, you just, you know, do the equivalent of knocking on the door. You ask to be let into that particular group. And our producer, Serena, will hopefully respond to that request. And I only say hopefully because of course she will. You know, it's not like she's going to screen you and ask you for documents and ask you for, you know, proof that you should come into the room. She's going to let you into that room. So if that's something you'd like to do, go ahead and do that. And welcome to everybody who's already over there. I see that people are filing in. Hi, James and Leslie and Suzanne. Thanks for coming today. It's good to see you all. And I do like to go over there, you know, every once in a while and kind of check in and see what's going on. But as I've described before, sometimes if I start doing too much multitasking, I get off task, right? And speaking of which, I think I will use that as an announcement today too, because I feel like what we're really going to be talking about is Pisces. And I feel like a typical Pisces today in that I am going so many different directions. In fact, as I was really looking at what I was going to talk about today, and I said, Pisces, easy enough, right? But I could already feel all of these riptides and these currents and the waves and the various waves coming in. And I kept thinking, but if you go too far over there, you're going to really be off course. And what about this? And you've got to talk about that. So I apologize right now if I am just sounding like I'm going all over the place, because it's, but just go with the flow is what I'd say. This is Pisces energy that we're talking about, and we're already heavily into the midst of this kind of energy, Pisces thing. And so I want to talk about it, you know, just in a sense of, you know, what does it feel like? What does it feel like to you? And here again, when we look at the week ahead, I do want to talk about that. What's going on astrologically, the cosmic dance, for the week of February 17th? Well, there's two things that I think are the most important that I really want to bring your attention to. But of course, there's other things going on too. So I hope that you will check those out. In Mark's Power Pink, I write a column called The Week Ahead, and I'll describe, you know, all the things that I think are going on in a particular day and how I think that that's likely to feel, you know, how that energy is likely to land. However, remember, it's all about you, especially with the sun in Pisces, which happened this morning. Very, very early, the sun began a new 30-day solar cycle. It left Aquarius and it moved into Pisces. Now, this is the 12th and the final sign of the zodiac. So in many ways, it does have a special place. In fact, many people believe that Pisces is very much of a chameleon. It has pieces of all the signs that came before. Now, whether or not it has those pieces or whether it just simply tunes into that energy, we're not going to argue about that. But it is true that Pisces can pretty much mimic or understand or empathize with all the other energies in the universe. That's true. And as the final sign of the zodiac, it's also that Pisces really is that transitional place as we're moving into the astrological new year. And, you know, if we have lots of opportunities for new beginnings always in our lives, you know, with those new moons every month. But it is fun because we always celebrate, of course, January 1st. It's a new year. Many of us see, you know, the Chinese New Year, that this, you know, the spring festival as a time of new beginnings. And astrologers or people in this world, we see when the sun moves into Aries as a new year. So when it moves into Pisces, this is like the final. This is the transitional phase of closing out an astrological year and preparing for a new one. Now, we're going to talk a lot about that in a few minutes. But the second thing that a lot of people are looking forward to this week is that the planet Mars, which is action, it's energy, it's recuperation, it's motivation. I would say it's what gets us up in the morning. Mars is just that motivating, inspirational energy. Well, it has been moving retrograde since December 6th. On December 6th, it was at 6 Leo. And it started moving backwards, at least metaphorically. Remember, those planets, they don't move backwards. It's an optical illusion. But it's been moving backwards. It went right back into Cancer. And today, and in fact, today and all this week, it's just sitting and it looks motionless at 17 degrees of Cancer. But by Sunday, February 23rd, it literally is going to be, here again, metaphorically, just standing still in the sky, because that is when the retrograde is over and it is going to start moving forward again. But it's going to take until April 17th before it gets back to Leo. So we're not going to talk about Mars retrograde really today, but I want to give you a few more dates or just kind of, you know, paint the picture here. So what we've got with a Mars retrograde, now this is true of all the planets that retrograde, and of course they all do other than the sun and the moon. But what happens is on October 5th is when we say that Mars went into the shadow of the retrograde. And what that means is that's when it hit 17 Cancer. And we knew that it was going to come back to that point. So even as early as October 5th, we knew Mars was slowing down. Something was going on with Mars. Then in November, it actually got into Leo, but by December 6th is when it retrograded. Then in January is when it re-entered Cancer. And now in February, it's going direct again. And by April 17th, it will re-enter Leo, and by May 2nd is when it leaves the shadow. So when I look at a retrograde, I often think about that whole pattern, October 5th through May 2nd. So there again, if that's helpful, you can look at it too. If it's not helpful, then just forget all that. You don't need all those dates. But the point is that we have been going, you know, at first, this was kind of a re-examination of our own self-expression. You know, it's about me. What do I want? How do I want to look to the world? But when it went back into Cancer, that first week of January, we went back to re-examine some things that were going on with relationships, and specifically relationships with home, family, our commitments, our dedication to what we think is important, relationships with security and safety, those sorts of things, all those Cancer issues, home and family, think of it that way. And so we've been dealing with a lot of those. In fact, I've noticed in my own life and in other people's lives as well, clients and friends, lots of issues coming up with family, with mothers, you know, parents and children and that kind of thing, more so than ordinary. Now, here again, you know, I was thinking when I was listening to Mark's show yesterday, he was talking about Pisces too. And of course, he and I just laughed because he said, you know, Pisces always find a meaning in everything. But, you know, I think what happens is we're always surrounded by different images. You know, we're listening to music on the radio, or we're in the car, or we see something or whatever. We're always surrounded by images, but we selectively choose a few that catch our attention. And see, that's what's happening. So for me, for whatever reason, maybe because I'm an astrologer and I knew that Mars was moving through Cancer, I just started attracting all this energy of people wanting to talk about family. Like I said, mothers, family, relationships and safety and security and all those things that have to do with Cancer. Somebody else might have said, I haven't heard a single thing. So I think one of the things, and this goes back to Pisces, is what are you surrounded by? What are you paying attention to? Because we can not be just like, you know, here again, going back to the ocean or to water. We don't have to be these little, you know, bobbins, you know, these little, I don't know, life rafts or whatever they are, just bobbing around in the ocean. We can selectively pay attention to what we want to. We can do that when we choose. But I think from an astrological standpoint, you know, the cards, the deck gets stacked, because when Mars is in Cancer, there are more things that are going to come up along those lines if we're using that lens to look at the world. So when we look at this Mars retrograde, which, by the way, I mean, I love the retrogrades. I truly do. I was born with five planets retrograde. So to me, that's a wonderful opportunity to go back and look at something, to pick something up, maybe something that I missed. I didn't see it the first time. And so to there again, reexamine those relationships. Is there something I wanted to change? Then as it goes back into Leo, we get that opportunity to then say, okay, so having that kind of settled, you know, where do we want to let our self-expression go, our creativity, our authenticity, our personal authority and power? That's a lot about what Leo is. And see, we're going to be able to do that in a cleaner way because we went back with that retrograde in Cancer. But generally speaking, another thing that I think is going on is people have had a lot of ideas, or they want to move here, move there, you know, change jobs and do all kinds of things. But they felt like things were sluggish, or they may have felt like things weren't moving. Well, you can know that things are going to start feeling like they're moving again. You're going to start seeing the activity paying off. Now, it may take a while. Here again, takes a while for Mars to look like it's really moving through its, you know, getting back to its usual pace. Because in fact, Mars has a lot to do with the pacing in our lives. So, but know that that's going to start happening as of Sunday, February 23rd. But we're really going to notice it once we get into March and April, and certainly by that second day of May, when it leaves the shadow of the retrograde, a lot of things are going to be reestablished. Things are going to be really moving for us then. So if you're one of those people who feel like, oh my gosh, what's going on here? Well, despair no more. Things are going to really pick up with Mars. All right, so let's dive into Pisces. And that's a perfect way to say it, because here again, Pisces is ultimately water. It's the sign of the dreamer, the mystic, the poet, the spiritualist, the empath. At least those are some of the words. And here again, sorry if I'm going to go all over the place. I am going to go all over the place today. So maybe it's going to be kind of like a broken cup, or, you know, the wave crashes against the shore and there goes the water. Another image that I often come up with, Pisces, is Mother Teresa. And the reason I do, she actually had a son in Virgo, by the way. She was not a Pisces. But a lot of the Piscean mythology has lots of symbols about surrender and sacrifice and unity and doing something for other people, giving of your life, you know, just laying down your life. In fact, if you look at a lot of Piscean kinds of stories, you're going to see that. You're going to see those figures, you know, the Christ figures, you know, or the religious or the spiritual figures that laid down their life for somebody else, the heroes that, you know, with no personal sense of their own safety, they lay down their life, or they jump into the river to save somebody, you know, that kind of thing. And, you know, I'm just going to say, we don't get away from that. All of the astrology signs have their mythologies, and the Piscean mythology has all that stuff. It's all about the imagination. It's all about living in two worlds simultaneously, like mermaids, having a foot in the ocean, having a foot on dry land, going back and forth, having altered states of consciousness, things dissolving, you know, the way that things dissolve in water, but the way that water can actually wear away rock. I mean, literally, that water can be hard, hard as rock, right? About blurred boundaries. And definitely this idea of just changeability, variability, being a mutable sign. Pisces is one of what we call the mutable signs. Now, if you listened to the show last week, Mo was on, and he was talking about the mythology of the two gods who were hooked together and thrown over a cliff. And I can't remember their names. Go back and listen to that show. It was fun. But he said what actually saved them was being hooked together. together as they went over the cliff was what saved them. And of course, one of the images of Pisces is the two fish tied together. So sometimes we think of that as going in two different directions, or always, you know, swimming to the surface or swimming to the bottom. And that's what we often find with Pisces. We see the Mother Teresa. We see the person who is the hero. And then we see the person who is totally overcome with drug addiction or with alcohol addiction, or the person who is totally in their fantasy land. You know, we see people like Ron Howard, the incredible actor and director, who imagines these unbelievable worlds, who imagines the way to really get to our hearts through photography, through movies. That's Sun in Pisces. So it is these two fish that just go back and forth and back and forth. It certainly is not a sign that, in a sense, that you look at somebody and you go, that's Pisces. Because once again, they are chameleons. They somehow know how to live in two worlds. That very ethereal, spiritual world of unity, that world of not, you know, of having a body, not being a body. So it's a really, to me, obviously, I'm a sun sign Pisces, so I love Pisces most of the time. And I say most of the time because, truthfully, I have a lot of planets in fire and air. And so sometimes I have a hard time relating to that water in Pisces. But ultimately, I love it. I truly do. But here's the other thing, why I really want all of us to at least get this feel for the Pisces season. Because this isn't just a situation where the sun moved into Pisces. And so, okay, let's do this for 30 days and then let's move on. I want to build the case that this is really a phenomenal period of time. This particular Pisces season is outstanding. And why? I'm going to give you my reasons. First, because it's a real Pisces party. If you look at an astrology chart, and I think Mark had one on his show yesterday, so you might be able to still see that over on Facebook, you know, during his show, that image may still be there. Right now, literally, we have all of these planets sitting in Pisces. And one of them, this isn't a planet, it's a mathematical calculation, but it's the north node of the moon, recently moved into Pisces with the south node in Virgo. Well, the nodes of the moon, like I said, they're mathematical calculations, but they change signs about every 18 months. And I don't remember the exact date. It's been maybe a few weeks, a month since the nodes changed. So give or take, the nodes are going to be there for about 18 months. Well, to have the North Node, you know, kind of destiny, where we're being pulled by our souls in Pisces, well, guess what? That's going to be there for about 17 months. That's important. But along with the North Node of the moon, there are currently four planets also sitting in Pisces. The Sun, as of this morning, Mercury, Saturn, which spends 2.5 years in Pisces and is going to change later this year, and Neptune, which has been in Pisces for 14 years, also going to move out of Pisces this year and then kind of wobble back and forth a little bit through retrogrades, but finally be out in 2026. So literally, if you look at a chart right now, you've got four planets and the north node of the moon all sitting in Pisces. So it is a Pisces party. No, you know, there's no way to get around it. You know, even if you're not identifying with the sun, there's Mercury, Saturn, Neptune. We've got some big stuff going on in Pisces right now. And by the way, Mercury entered Pisces on February 14th, and it's going to leave on March 3rd. But guess what? It's going to go retrograde the middle of March. It's going to be 314. It's going to go retrograde for about 21 days through the first week of April. And guess where it's going to go? It's going to go back into Pisces. So even though it's going to leave Pisces on the 3rd of March, it's going to go right back into Pisces. So I'm building the case. That's my first point. It's a Pisces party. There's big stuff going on in Pisces, and the planets are really gathering there. They're coalescing their energy in the sign of Pisces. And that number of planets that's sitting in Pisces, it's going to go up by one on February 27th, because that's when there's a new moon in Pisces. Now, of course, the moon is only there for 2.5 days, but it's a new moon that's going to be there. So if you look at that chart, there really is a coalition of planets sitting in Pisces, big Pisces energy there. Then when we get to the full moon, that's going to be the middle of March, March 13th. Well, the full moon is going to, of course, be in Virgo, because that's when the moon and the sun are opposite each other. So the sun on the full moon on March 13th is going to be in Pisces with the moon in Virgo. But guess what? That's the first eclipse of 2025. It's going to be a lunar eclipse. And you know that when there's an eclipse, then it's a more important full moon or new moon. And in this case, like I said, it's a full moon, lunar eclipse. So the sun is literally eclipsing the moon, which, by the way, tends to be associated with endings and completions and finishing up things, you know, coming to that revelation of what you're ready to let go of. So here again, this Pisces party is very much maybe a send-off for both Saturn, for Neptune, for a whole process, for a whole decade, longer than a decade, really, of things that we've been doing, of things going on in Pisces. So there again, we'll continue to talk about that. But the lunar eclipse is another reason. It's like, guys, let's pay attention to Pisces. Then when the sun and Neptune join, they're going to join. They do it once a year because, of course, the sun goes around the zodiac in a year. So inevitably, it's going to join with Neptune. When it joins with Neptune, they both will be at 29 Pisces. That's going to be on March 19th. Now, I think this is very special. In fact, I guess I'm a little sentimental about this one because, of course, Neptune has been in Pisces for 14 years. So for 14 years, the Sun and Neptune have been joining in Pisces. But this is going to be the last time, at least for a very, very, very long time, because Neptune won't be back in Pisces for 164 years. Now, of course, the sun is still going to join Neptune every single year. But the next time that it joins Neptune, it's going to be in Aries. And that will be the pattern moving forward, that sun and Neptune will join in Aries for about every 14 years. So once again, what are we talking about here? A Pisces party, beginnings, endings, especially. That's an ending. And there again, we'll talk about it. But then when Neptune leaves Pisces, it's going to do that on March 30th, and it's going to go into Aries. And there again, it will retrograde back and forth for a little bit. So it won't be until, I think, you know, early 2026 before Neptune is in Aries for real. But do you see what's going on here? Not only have we had this incredible Pisces party with Neptune, the ruler of Pisces. Did I forget to say that? Neptune rules Pisces, and it's been sitting in its own sign for 14 years, and now it's going to leave at the end of March. So see, this to me really is a special cycle. And there again, if astrology is not the lens that you look through, or if you go, Pisces, I don't know, they're so sappy, they're so, you know, impressionable, whatever, you know, whatever you feel about it. You don't have to. I'm just building my case because I think it's pretty exciting. And I think this is a more powerful or a more profound, maybe, sun cycle because of all these things going on in Pisces right now. So that's you know, my kind of take on this. And so I would say get out your snorkeling gear, your diving equipment, and maybe your rose-colored glasses, because those are all things that we use with Pisces, because this really is the sign of dreams and illusions, altered states of consciousness, hypnotism, anesthesia, meditation, journaling. It's about seeing the world through different screens or veils. And do we really want to remove those veils, or do we always want to use those? Do we want to use the rose-colored glasses? I'm not sure that's a negative thing to do that. You know, this is a sign of spirituality. So it's pretty exciting, I think. And I just want you to, like, not just sit back and not take in some of these things. Let's put it that way. Now, if you read the Marx Power Peak, just indulge me for a few minutes, because I wanted, you know, I wrote this story in there, but I'm going to repeat it. And that is this, because once again, you know, as you think about what comes to you, well, you know, I've just learned in my life that I pay attention to things that come to me. Now, once again, I can't pay attention to every single thing that's happening because I would just be totally overloaded, right? But, you know, when I get a hunch or when I get, you know, just a feeling. So I love to listen to music. I know that music really, really influences my mood. So, you know, all of a sudden I thought, you know what? I haven't listened to the soundtrack to Les Mis for a long time. Les Miserables, you know, the famous play that, you know, is like one of the longest running plays. It certainly was on Broadway, and I think it's still running in London. I mean, literally, it's been running for a couple decades, maybe. It's a very long-standing play. But in any case, I haven't seen the production in many, many years. And actually, I haven't listened to the music, I think, for well over a year or more. And all of a sudden, I just said, you know what? I really want to listen to that because I just love that music. And it's so moving to me on a number of levels. So I thought, you know what? I really want to get that out. I want to play that. And I don't know why. And there again, I don't analyze, why do you want to listen to it? I just said, I want to listen to it. So I get it out and I'm listening to it. And I was kind of overwhelmed with this sense of how much I missed it and how much I miss, you know, just really being surrounded by music that I love or stories that I love for whatever reason. You know, some of them inspire, some of them, you know, motivate. And there again, maybe it's because Mars is going to go direct. But there again, I don't need to know why. I just know that as I was literally, I was in my car listening to this, and I thought, oh my gosh, I need to remember the things that inspire me. This feels so good to be listening to this music, these voices, just the way the music flows together. And of course, the story, but I was just loving it. And I said, you know what? You need to pay more attention to those kinds of things. Don't let all these details, don't let all this kind of junk, sometimes just the distractions in life, you know, turn off the TV or turn off the news or just limit what you're doing that has this either chaotic or negative effect on you. You know, don't go there, you know, because here again, I've never thought it was very attractive, but we call Pisces the psychic sponge of the zodiac. And we truly do, people that have a lot of Pisces, we just soak in whatever the environment is. And so we need to intentionally surround ourselves with ideas and people that inspire us, that remind us of what's worthwhile and enduring. Because, you know, there's thousands, millions of stories out there. Which are the ones that we're paying attention to? Now, that doesn't mean that you put your head in the sand. But then again, sometimes you probably do just need to close the door and say, okay, enough. I've had enough for today. I need something else. And even if it's 5 minutes or if it's 5 hours, I am going to surround myself with a certain kind of energy or surround myself with certain words or people or whatever it is. So we need to be intentional about that. But especially after the case I just built for how much Pisces energy is in the cosmos right now and for the next month or so, then how important is it for all of us to just be more intentional? We don't need to be that fish or that, you know, whatever it is that's just being bopped around, that's just being slapped around in the ocean. We get to choose. We can put up the sail and we can go in a direction of our choice while we're actually kind of going with the flow. We can take advantage of whatever the environment is. So, you know, just right then and there, I just said, you know what? I'm going to be more discerning and I'm going to be more disciplined. That's not exactly a Pisces word, but I'm going to be more disciplined about how I spend my time and the voices and images that I have in my surroundings. So as I get home that day, I'm just kind of thinking, you know, and how can I do that? And all of a sudden, you know, I said, I want to check out the scopes on 12listen.com. And I will admit, I hadn't checked them out for quite a while. And I thought, I just wanted to go. I mean, it was just like a psychic hunch or something. You know, it was just like one of those gut feelings. I just want to go look and see what the scopes are on 12listen.com. That's the front page of the site. And so I'm kind of cruising through and I go, Starscope. Oh, I want to read a Starscope. So I click on Pisces, the Starscope, which is written by Erica Longden, who is a 12listen advisor. She's an author. She's a sound healer. You know, she has a radio show. She does all this stuff. And, you know, it's just a lovely, lovely person. I had the opportunity years ago to spend some quality time with Erica, and it was wonderful. So shout out to Erica. But this is what she wrote in the Starscope. Being a sensitive soul, and this is about Pisces, being a sensitive soul and the final sign of the zodiac, which encompasses elements of all the signs, you find the information swirling around challenging and possibly emotionally unsettling. Beware the heightened clashes and conflicts that present as news and reality. The antidote is to spend time with inspiring people, arts, music, and consume details of deeds and actions that make a positive difference in the world. Now, I was like blown away. Now, why am I blown away? I don't know. Because I know that my 12listen colleagues are incredible. And I also know how this works. When I get a gut hunch, when something comes to me and it says, okay, you need to do this, you know, and I follow that, I'm rewarded in that way. So on one hand, why am I blown away? But I thought, oh my God, perfectly said, Erica. That's exactly what I needed to hear. And just 5 minutes before, that's exactly what I'm telling myself. You need to be intentional. You need to understand how, you know, influenced you are, how impressionable you are, and to intentionally surround yourself with that kind of information. So I was just thrilled to find that. And for many of you, you know, there again, in your day, maybe you just need a moment of inspiration, go to Mark's Power Peak. Or go to 12listen.com, or go, you know, you have that spiritual toolbox, is what I call it. Have those things ready. Is it a song that you listen to? You know how you put on a song and it just really pumps you up? Maybe you have a mantra, or maybe you have a theme song. Have it ready, especially in the season of Pisces, because we are so impressionable. You know, we are listening to stuff. We're sensitive. We're taking things in. We're more intuitive than usual. And actually, it may not be so much that we're more intuitive as much as we're listening to our intuition. And so this is a good time to learn how to trust your intuition, to know the difference between what's really an intuitive hit and what's just fear talking in your ear. And sometimes, I mean, you know that. Some of that stuff is nothing more than just fear. And, you know, how does it make you feel? Those gut hunches and intuition usually makes you feel powerful, makes you feel more empowered. So, you know, pay attention to that. And once again, before we leave this, I would say, you know, check out Erica on 12listen.com, but also she has a Monday radio show right before Mark has it. Hers is at 7 a.m. Pacific. So be sure to check her out and see what else she's saying, because she's like right on it. And by the way, she's not a sun sign Pisces, but she does have her north node in Pisces. So, you know, I would say I would trust her right now. She is really channeling the information. So as we, you know, we're going to continue to talk about this, but, you know, just at this little point, you know, like we're a little bit more than halfway through the show. If you don't remember anything else about this show, here's a couple ideas that I just want these to keep resonating. This is a time of heightened sensitivity, imagination, creativity, and intuition. We collectively are sensitive and impressionable. We are soaking up the vibes of whatever is in our milieu, whatever is in our inner world, the people, the stories, the ideas, the images. We're soaking them in. And, you know, sometimes we may not be, in fact, a lot of times, we're not even aware so much of what that is. But we can intentionally surround ourselves with the kind of energy that we want. Or, you know, just that's it. Those people who are making a positive difference in the world. And as I said, I'm not talking about putting your head in the sand. But also know when you've had enough of a certain kind of energy, or when this is not the day, this is not the hour to handle something. You know that about yourself and do what you need to do. But as we go forward, remember, we are in a transitional phase here. Pisces is taking us to the new astrological year. And whatever symbols really work for you, then let those symbols be there. And like I said, one of the symbols that really works for me is the mermaid, because that is, you know, a mythological creature, I guess, that lives in two worlds, you know, and many of us, that's it. We are spiritual beings having a physical experience. We are the mermaid, I think, at our very core. And sometimes we get confused, right? We get confused about what's real and what's not. You know, we're under the influence, so to speak. But another image that I think is useful at this time is the caterpillar, who becomes the butterfly. But what's interesting to me, and I was just thinking about this week too, because sometimes I think the caterpillar is this creature that they're just driven by destiny or desire or whatever, and you know, things just happen and then they become the butterfly. Well, you know, I started thinking in terms of when we're the caterpillar, do we hear the call that it's time? They weave their own cocoon. And see, that's the important thing. Pisces is not a time to just go with the flow and just get knocked around and let things happen to you. It's a different kind of active state. And so the caterpillar actually hears the call. The caterpillar knows it's time to weave their cocoon, to become the butterfly. So it's time for us too to actively participate in the preparation for our next steps. And see, there again, maybe that's Mars moving direct on Sunday, but I thought, you know, so often I think of the caterpillar as being very, very passive. That whole incredible change that happens to the caterpillar becoming the butterfly. But they're not passive. They're an active participant. They weave the cocoon that takes them to the next step. And, you know, I was glad that kind of, you know, those ideas were in some of things that I was reading this week. And I thought, you know, that just puts a whole nother spin onto it, that we're actively participating in the preparation for our next steps, even though it seems magical, it seems mysterious, it seems unknown how that happens, but we put ourselves in the path so that those kinds of things can happen. And so during the Piscean cycle, I think, and when everything in some ways is under the surface, it's under the radar, we can kind of draw that conclusion that nothing's happening, but it's not true. It's sort of like a woman being pregnant. You know, you look at her and it's like, nothing happening. Takes a while for it to even show. Takes a while for you to even see there's any indications that the person is pregnant. And then when they are, it's not like you see all the little bones coming together and the muscle tissue and the brain tissue. But something big is happening. This is a consequential time. And during 2025 and into 2026, when we see these major, when I say major, I mean some of those outer planets, Saturn and Neptune moving, changing signs, Uranus is going to change signs, Pluto changed at the end of 2024. So something is really happening. And no, we don't get to see every single piece of it. You know, we don't witness it all with our physical eyes, but it's happening. And we have internal eyes and internal ears to know that something is going on. So one other idea that I want to start introducing, and we're not going to do a deep dive into Neptune for a few weeks, and we are going to do a deep dive, but I wanted, something came up that I was also thinking with Neptune this week, because that's the ruler of Pisces. So oftentimes it's not that they're interchangeable. Neptune is the planet, Pisces is the sign. But as we look at Neptune, there are some things that can really help us or make just be thought-provoking. So with Neptune, it represents our ability to transcend finite form and experience unity. And see, that's an important word, transcend. That spiritual, that ethereal, to transcend form, the physical universe, and experience unity. Because here again, most of us at one time or another have been part of a spiritual system or, you know, discipline or religion, and everybody's talking about unity. But, you know, sometimes you think you're a crazy person because we all look around. We're all different people. We've got all different kind of forms. We have different bodies. We've got different preferences and needs, et cetera, et cetera. And so it really is a spiritual dynamic that we really look at ourselves and say, we're one, right? But Neptune is that planet that represents that yearning, that longing, that ability to transcend. To transcend the finite form. Neptune rules Pisces, and it rules the 12th house of the chart. But this is what I want to talk about. It in Tarot corresponds to the Hanged Man. Now, I think the Hanged Man is one of those, you know, archetypes in the Tarot when people go, oh, I don't want that one. I don't want that one in my reading. And, you know, I mean, yeah, I'm just kind of saying after years and years and years of reading Tarot, but it's one, once again, it's one of the archetypes. It's so important. It's so important in terms of some of its meanings and how it does come out in a reading. So when we think of Neptune the Dreamer, I want to talk about some of those concepts, but I also want to offer you a few quotes that I think are very Neptunian or very Piscean. And the first is, you don't have a soul. You are a soul. You have a body. And that's by C.S. Lewis. Another one by Albert Einstein, who is a sun sign Pisces, is there are two ways to live. You can live as if nothing is a miracle, or you can live as if everything is a miracle. And of course, I don't think there is a bad quote from Albert Einstein, but we're not going to fill this whole thing. But I do want one other, and that is, reality is merely an illusion, albeit a very persistent one. And then just a couple more. You know, Edgar Cayce, of course, was not only a sun sign Pisces, he had lots and lots of planets in Pisces. And he says, dreams are today's answers to tomorrow's questions. And then here's one, I threw it in because I just love it because I think it's so Piscean. It's from the actress Eva Green, and she said, I'm a dreamer. Seriously, I'm living on another planet. And a lot of Pisces, I don't remember now if she is a Pisces, but, you know, that's how they feel. Like, I just don't get this. I don't get this reality. And then this one I like because I think it has to do with, you know, the Piscean thing. And of course, is, you know, we can always be that fish that is going higher, 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 that's swimming forward, that is swimming up. But we can also be that fish that swims down, right? And so this is by Sartre, the, you know, philosopher, said, like all dreamers, I mistook disenchantment for the truth. And see, there again, you know, sometimes it's not nearly as bad as we want to believe. It's not nearly as bad or disenchanting or upsetting as we think it is. It's our lens. It's the way that we are looking at it. So that's why I want to talk about the Hanged Man. And here again, I don't know if we'll talk about the Hanged Man again when we look at Neptune, but I just want to throw out some of these ideas about the Hanged Man energy of Neptune. And James Wanless calls the Hanged Man the universal law of reversal. Now, some of the other people that write about Tarot may call it that way too, but it's the universal law of reversal. You know, the Hanged Man is always hanging upside down. And if you often, in most of the depictions of a Tarot card with the Hanged Man, if you turn the card upside down, then the man's arms, or whoever is hanging there, it doesn't have to be a man, but often it is, their arms are reaching straight up, which you might say is the idea of victory, the idea of ascension. And so it's interesting that the person hanging upside down, you turn that around and it's victory. But the Hanged Man itself, you know, some of the images, some of the ideas that we talk about when the Hanged Man comes up in a reading is surrender, letting go. Now, that makes me also think about the idea of Pisces and swimming, because you know how when you get into a pool of water, your body feels completely different. Your body is being supported, and gravity doesn't cease to exist, but in many, many ways it does. You can do things in water that you cannot do standing up, which of course is why they have water aerobics and all kinds of water therapy and water exercises, because for the moment, the water suspends some of the physical attributes of gravity. And we can do things even in our body. It's almost like it allows us to imagine just a little bit an alternate reality for our bodies. So the Hanged Man represents that surrender, letting go, turning your mind and your ideas and your body upside down. Do the opposite. You know, there's a lot of positions in yoga that would be equivalent to the Hanged Man. And speaking of yoga, you know, the belief that there again, you put your body into certain positions to change or to influence your mind, your attitudes, your heart, or your soul. And when the Hanged Man comes up, sometimes it says, recognizing that we have things backwards, upside down, inside out. So there again, when it comes up in a reading, it can be kind of a relief, because maybe we're doing a reading because we think we got a problem. And the Hanged Man goes, you know what? You got this all wrong. You're not looking at this the right way. But there's no doubt. Also, there's a lot of sacrifice involved. And in fact, sometimes the Hanged Man comes up when somebody really has been doing a lot of sacrificing. And I think the indication is, okay, you've been sacrificing. You've been, you know, you're hanging upside down. You've been laying it all out there for other people. And maybe it's time to do things a little bit differently. So sometimes it really is maybe sacrifice is coming to an ending, or maybe sacrificing is being, you know, transformed. You're transcending in some ways. But one of the issues I think is very important with Hanged Man is the idea, quit struggling. It doesn't have to be a struggle. This is a card that literally does say, let it be, just like the Beatles, let it be. Quit struggling. Because struggling against something, you're not using the right strategy, or that strategy doesn't work anymore, or you're in a situation where using your mind or using the tools that you've been using, guess what? They're not working. So quit struggling. Don't be deceived by the outward illusion and the appearance of things, because how you're seeing this is upside down, inside out. It's backwards. So it's also the message, don't look at the appearance as being the reality. Go with the flow. It's don't force yourself. Don't force your way of understanding this particular situation. You know, have the courage to face things differently. Now, and sometimes that's it too. Maybe we have been hiding, putting our fingers in our ears, going la, 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 la. So the Hanged Man comes up and says, you know what? Do you have the courage to just face something, to just accept it, to not try to change it, to just live with it for a few minutes, a few hours, maybe a little bit longer? You know, can you just accept? Can you understand human limitations and maybe where you are? Can you look at self-oppression or self-sabotage or victimization? Can you look at setback as an opportunity? What is it going to take to release the need to control, to come to some kind of acceptance? And maybe it's about surrendering to the rhythms of life. I mean, once again, think about it. In the water, you're in a swimming pool, you're in the ocean, you're in a river, whatever it is. When you're in water, the rhythms, the pacing is different. What does it take to just surrender to whatever's going on? Doesn't mean you have to like it, and it also doesn't mean that you're not changing it, but you're working with the rhythm of whatever's going on for you. And when I think about this, this whole reversal of posture, attitude, experience, and the spiritual awakenings that can come because of it, do you realize this year is, we've talked about this, it is a 9 year numerologically, and that's the hermit. And what does a hermit do? He withdraws from the chaos, withdraws from society for the purpose of getting into their own personal rhythm, to see what they haven't seen, possibly to reverse their position, to release being a victim. So it's a state of receptivity in which it allows us to change something or to become something or to have a more authentic experience of our lives by seeing it differently, letting go of denial. So that's just a few ideas that have to do with the Hanged Man, which is the card for Neptune. So we're going to talk about, like I said, we probably will revisit this, but I want you to just think about that, that that's a different way of looking at it. And yes, maybe, you know, we have been in denial. But the other thing is, are we letting disenchantment or something that looks upsetting? Are we looking at the appearances of something without realizing what potentially could be another interpretation? How often do we stop and say, huh, what if I've got this wrong? So I want you to think about that. And also, I know that we got to close the show out. We just have a couple more minutes, but I want to say, you know, some of the people that were born with Sun in Pisces that I think are so Piscean, Dr. Seuss, Albert Einstein, we mentioned Ron Howard and Edgar Cayce, but one person I also want to mention is Victor Hugo, who was a French romantic author, poet, essayist, playwright, and politician. Now, quite truthfully, I do not put politician with any of those other previous things. But many of you are familiar with Victor Hugo. You know, maybe you have studied him or you've read things that he has written. But by the way, he's the author of The Hunchback of Notre Dame. And also he's the author of the original book, Les Miserables. And I'm going to just leave you with a couple of his quotes. And very Piscean here. Not seeing people permits us to imagine them with every perfection. And that is so true. If there's any sign that can look at the diamond in the rough, it would be Pisces. Now, Victor Hugo also said the future has several names. For the weak, it's impossible. For the faint-hearted, it is unknown. But for the valiant, it is ideal. So there again, that's kind of a wrap on Pisces, although it's not a wrap, and that we are going to continue to talk about this. How can we not? There's so much going on. But everybody, thank you for being here today, to the listeners, to everybody in the chat room. I really, you know, appreciate it. I also really appreciate our producer, Serena, for being here. And everybody, I didn't get to say hello to everybody, but to Jean and Kay and Maureen and Suzanne, everybody, thank you so much for being in the chat room today. I see you. And I really appreciate you, Quelly and Tara and everybody. Thanks for coming and being in the chat room today. I would encourage you to consciously, intentionally tune into Empowerment with Kelly Whetstone today. She's coming up next. And to just think, you know, just in every moment that you can do it, just intentionally choose what's in your milieu, what's surrounding you. Be more conscious of how you're soaking it all up with Pisces. This is CA signing out. You have been listening to Everyday Astrology on 1-2 Radio, where we are changing the way we experience the world.